Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'll assume you all know about the deep web. Well, what you've heard is true. It's not a great place. While some people are there to score weed or firearms, or even out of sheer curiosity, others, well, they're obviously not up to anything good. But I'm not here to talk about those sickos. I'm here to talk about what lies beyond that point. The more cryptic and unexplainable part of the internet. The part that nobody's really supposed to see. There was an infographic that cropped up a while ago. Not sure when. The 8 levels of the internet. Maybe you've seen it. As interesting as it was, it's completely bunk. I'm sorry. But polymetric falsical derivation means nothing. And the pre-march system. I guess somebody's a fan of Warhammer. No. There's no quantum mechanics involved here. However, that doesn't mean it was an easy place to find. Now, I'm not going to begin to tell you how to get there. It's unlikely that you'd be able to, even if I did. I'm not tooting my own horn here, I just don't have a life outside of this. I was warned, of course. Everybody told me I wasn't going to like what I saw, that I wouldn't even understand it. Now I'm passing off that warning to you. Don't try to look for this. There's no official name for this place, or at least I haven't seen one. There were rumors, however. These ranged from an Illuminati chat room to a virtual holding cell for an experimental AI gone rogue. In reality, it's a lot worse. After a lot of painful process of breaking down firewalls, encryptions, solving bizarre philosophical riddles, and following hidden links, I was finally directed to a blank page with one line of text and a text box underneath. Quid chiaris, Latin for what do you seek? I remember feeling surprised, but in retrospect, I didn't know what I was expecting. I'll admit, I was a bit stumped here, partially because I don't know the answer to that question. I had no objective. I just wanted to see if I could do it. I tried some generic answers at first. I typed in the truth and enlightenment, you know, Matrix shit. And nothing happened. I tried a bunch of answers, but none of them worked. I was getting frustrated at this point. Maybe this was a gag page. Maybe I really hadn't figured anything out. If only. I tried something off the wall. Not sure how this came to me or why I thought it would work, but I typed in, "What also seeks me." Now that I think about it, this thing might have been an AI. To my surprise, the page went blank. Like, fully blank. I waited. After about 5 minutes, I was directed to what looked like a forum. No, not even that. It was more basic. Just a list of links over a brownish-yellow background. The links themselves were indecipherable. Just seemingly random sequences of characters, symbols, and letters. A lot of them I had never seen before. It almost looked like an alien language. Obviously, just a code I didn't understand. At this point, expectations were off the wall. Each link was a shot in the dark. I clicked on the first one. It loaded up a live feed of what seemed to be the Paris catacombs. I watched for a while, but it was ultimately uneventful. I moved on to the next link. It was a shaky video in a dark setting, but I could make out men in tactical gear. They were in a house, opening doors and sweeping each room. Eventually, they kicked one down to reveal a creature. Tall and humanoid with scaly skin. It was gnawing on a dismembered arm. They tried shooting at it, but it escaped out the window. The video stopped there. Well, I was floored. What the hell was this? It looked too real to be unreleased film footage. I was officially intrigued. Maybe this was worth the months of headaches and bloodshot eyes after all. I couldn't stop now. I started working down the list of links. With each click, everything got more and more bizarre, more disturbing. I stumbled upon a document called the Paragon Project, detailing trials of human experimentation that would lead to superhuman levels of strength and durability. It was an apparent success. Looked official, too. There was an essay on space-time alimonies, glitches in reality, and apparent pictures of alternate dimensions. There were detailed explanations regarding Area 51, the Bermuda Triangle, assassinations, disappearances, and the true nature of the Holy Grail. One of the more upsetting ones was a document referring to a world-ending bomb. A nuke that's 720,000 times stronger than the one dropped on Hiroshima. I don't want to know why we would need that. I found contingency plans for different kinds of apocalypses. Nuclear war, biological weapons, viral outbreak. Some more peculiar ones were called the Marianas Trench abnormality. The bluntly labeled strange man on the 15th floor. And one simply referred to as blackout. Recovered logs of skinwalker hunting expeditions, 911 transcriptions from residents of a town in Texas that went missing in 1977, and even the journals that belonged to the people involved in the Dyatlov Pass incident. They didn't go insane because of the snow. I spent hours on there, looking through pages and pages of things I felt like I wasn't supposed to see. I came across a trailer to a silent film made back in 1910, one that apparently made people claw their eyes out after watching that nearly derailed the whole industry. There was a live stream of a hooded man sitting in front of a camera, head crouched down. He eventually lifted his head. Even though he had no mouth, a deep, guttural hello came through my speakers. Somehow, I knew it came from him. I didn't stick around for that. There were obscure sets of step-by-step guides that involved things like cutting off your own limbs and sewing on our corpses, performing religious incantations in the middle of a Siberian forest, and going to coordinates that apparently housed captive fallen angels. It was unclear what any of these were supposed to achieve. There was also a 20-second long clip titled, "The Futility of the Living." I didn't watch it. That's when I realized there was no way even the highest form of organized government had full control of this. One of the scariest things about this whole experience was that I didn't find an end to the list. No matter how far I scrolled down, I think I had a meltdown and passed out eventually, because I woke up on my floor in the middle of the night. I looked at my computer screen to see looped helicopter footage of a massive crab-like creature tearing apart a coastal island. I clicked off of it. I sat there for the longest time. I couldn't comprehend what I was seeing, and I didn't think I really wanted to. Now, I'm not really sure why I kept going. My brain was screaming for me to take my computer out to the lawn and smash it into pieces. But I didn't. I noticed something I hadn't before. A small message at the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. I didn't know if it was always there or not. It was hard to read, so I had to squint. More Latin. Translated into, "Are you satisfied?" There were two options underneath it. Yes and no. Now, I knew the answer to that question. Hell no, I wasn't satisfied. I was horrified. Scarred for life. But I should have clicked yes. If I just clicked on yes, it would have taken me out of that godforsaken place. Back to comfort and sanity. Even right now, I can't tell you why I clicked on no. But once I did, the page seemed to refresh. It was still the same basic setup, except there were only four links. This time, there was no recognizable numbers or characters. Hell, it didn't look like anything that could have come from this world. Just a collection of extremely crude symbols that didn't give any sense of pattern or direction. I clicked on the first link. After about 20 seconds, I slammed my computer shut. I can't describe to you what I saw. All I know is that I wasn't supposed to see it. Nobody should ever see something like this. It's not only that it didn't make any sense, I can't tell you why it didn't. I couldn't begin to grasp the images I was seeing. It wasn't graphic or anything, not like that. I just couldn't recognize anything. I could make out things moving, but not in a way any creature on Earth had ever moved before. I could make out things moving, but not in a way any creature on Earth had ever moved before. Colors that I'd never seen before. Just thinking about it gives me a splitting headache. This is my best attempt at visualizing it. We have three dimensions here on Earth. We can move forwards, backwards, left, and right. 72.4 degrees southwest, etc. These things weren't restricted to that. I can't explain it any further. All I know is that I didn't want to watch one more second. I don't think I would be able to. I left my room. For the first time in a while. I was planning to leave my house. I needed fresh air. To take a walk or something. Hell, I was thinking about running a marathon in the middle of the night just to get my mind off of that shit for a few hours. I was putting on my jacket when I heard a knock at the door. I stopped dead in my tracks. Obviously, I wasn't opening it. About a minute, and five more sets of knocks came before somebody spoke up. "Open up. We know what you did, but we're not gonna hurt you. We just want to talk." The tone wasn't threatening. Eventually, I obliged. I opened the door to two tall, slim men in suits. They smiled at me. "Can we come in?" I still don't know how they found me. I thought for sure I was off the grid. We sat down on the couch. I guess I was just waiting for answers at this point. One of them looked at me and said, "What were you looking for?" I don't know, but I'm not going back," I responded. He smiled again, like this is what he wanted to hear. The other one piped up, "Who do you work for?" His tone was a bit more aggressive. I just shook my head. "Look, I don't know what I was getting into. I wasn't looking for anything." They just stared at me for a while. "I'm not gonna tell anybody. Trust me," they finally responded. "We're not worried about that. Doubt anybody will believe you." Another smile. Somehow it felt genuine. "We just wanted to know what your priorities were." In retrospect, that was a very strange question. "Just do us a favor and we'll leave." I perked up. "Give us the device you used to access it." I didn't ask any questions. I ran upstairs and basically tossed them my laptop. They both smirked at me one last time before heading for the door. Just as they were about to leave, one of them turned back. "I don't think you'll need to be told, but don't try this again. And don't show anybody else how to get there either. We'll know." I didn't ask who they were. I'm not sure I would have wanted to know. It's been a week now. I don't go to the internet so much anymore. After this, I'm going to try and forget. To try and not to think about it anymore. I've started having horrific nightmares. I've been seeing a therapist for that, but I don't think it's helping. Anyways, I'm not going to let this consume the rest of my life. The thing is, I'm afraid this might not be possible. There are some stupid things we aren't supposed to know about, probably for our own safety and sanity. Don't try and seek them out. It's better that way. However, it might be a bit too late for me. They say curiosity killed the cat. It's funny. It almost feels like a personal attack at this point. I haven't forgotten about that night. I mean, it's not just something you can stop thinking about. What the hell was that last thing I saw? Strange thing is, it never even comes up in my nightmares. It's always the other stuff. I swear, I can see that dude with no mouth every time I close my eyes. But maybe it's not so weird. My brain couldn't comprehend it the first time. So how could my subconscious produce a recreation? Shit, I don't want to think about it anymore. But I can't. You see, my problems aren't just in my head anymore. I thought I was done with this shit after the men in black paid me a visit. I thought it was over. In retrospect, that was just wishful thinking. No, it was delusional. After what I saw, I guess it just doesn't work like that. I guess the world just isn't that simple. Here's what's been happening. Wednesday. It's been 3 days since I've gone back to work, and I think I'm being followed. No, I'm sure I am. The thing is, the first time I didn't really notice. Whoever the hell they are, they've been using different vehicles. Always the same routine. After work, I got into my car and start driving home. Another vehicle always tails me until one turn into my driveway, and they drive past. Now, if it happens once, whatever, but 3 times. Under normal circumstances, I could call it a coincidence. For obvious reasons, I can't do that right now. I'm not really sure what the hell they want. Maybe they're trying to monitor me. God, that's all I hope they're trying to do. If that's the case, I'll just lay low and ride it out. Just give them what they want. Thursday. This time, I tried to get a glimpse of them in my rear view. Windows were tinted. Great. Again, I pulled into my driveway, and they kept going. Now, I know I said I was just going to ride it out, but this kind of shit really does take a toll on you. I don't want to deal with whatever the hell this is anymore. I swear they're following me closer and closer each time. Friday. I did something different today. Took public transit instead of driving. I've never needed a drink more in my life, so I went to a bar after work. I guess this was more of an experiment, to see how closely they've been tracking me. If they're bothered by the waiting, then they can go fuck themselves. I'm still living my life, although I couldn't keep my eyes off the windows the whole time I was there. After getting sufficiently wasted, I flagged a cab down, and surprise, surprise, there they were, right behind us. But here's what I didn't expect. It was the same car from yesterday. Looks like they gave up on the incognito act. Not sure how I feel about that. Damn it. Something else has changed. They didn't just keep driving this time. After the cab dropped me off, I turned around to see that damn car parked, half a block away from my house. I just went inside. The hell was I supposed to do? Calling the cops didn't even occur to me, but to be honest, I didn't think that would have helped. It's been 3 hours now, and they're still there. I haven't been watching them the whole time, so I don't know whether or not they're actually in the car. Not fun to think about. There's no way in hell I'm sleeping tonight. It's about 2 a.m. now. I just got a text message. Private number. Here's what it said. Leave your house. Don't use the front door. They're still there. Come to the all-nighter diner about 5 blocks away. Don't think about driving. They'll know. Be quick. They're coming in soon. Don't get followed. Leave your lights on. I froze after reading this. They're coming in? For who? For what? Who the hell's texting me? Now, I don't know what you would have done in this situation, but I took the warning. I was paranoid as hell at this point. Buzzed and tired, I put on a jacket and went out my back door. I also took a backpack with my other laptop in it. Not sure why, but I felt like I needed to. I waited for a second before I climbed my own fence. When I was sure nobody had noticed, I started heading towards the diner. After about 40 minutes, I finally got there. Would have been shorter, but I pretty much ducked into the bushes every time a car passed. I scanned the patrons, a table of drunk college kids, a few truckers, and a dude in a hoodie typing away on a computer in the back. He didn't look threatening. Actually, he was pretty scrawny. I made an educated guess. I walked up to his table and sat down. He looked up at me. Hi, what do you want? You texted me. There was a brief pause. I got worried for a second. Is it not him? But he broke the silence. Right. They follow you? No, I don't think so. He nodded. All right. Then he laughed, like this was supposed to be funny. Man, you screwed up, didn't you? Hard to disagree with that. What were you doing anyways? What were you trying to find? Nothing, I swear. I just did it for the hell of it, I guess. He just stared at me in amused disbelief. Ah, well, that's fucking lame. Would have been cool if you were a spy or something. He chuckled again. Look, who are you? How did you know that they were after me? Who are they, anyways? I pelted him with questions. All right, settle down there. I'm not going to tell you who they are. I don't know either, but I will tell you that they don't have good intentions. Fantastic, I thought. Well, how do you know about them? He paused. They came after me. One second I'm reading about demons and the moon, the next I'm getting my door kicked in. This was months ago. I skipped town. I was confused. Wait, what do you mean? They tried to kill me, dude. I couldn't believe this. And you were just viewing the links? That was it? You teach other people how to get there or something? He raised his eyebrow. No. Why do you ask? I was floored. They didn't do that to me, I said. They just came by, took my laptop, and gave me a warning. Now it was his turn to look shocked. Really? He seemed to think about something for a while. He then proceeded to ask me what they looked like. Just men in suits, I responded. What did they ask you? Was his follow-up question. Again, I just told him. But then I remembered the last thing they said to me. They asked me what my priorities were. Weird-ass question. His face went blank for a second. Yeah, strange, ain't it? What followed was an uncomfortable silence. I finally asked him the thing that had been on my mind ever since that night. That page with just the four links. What the hell is that supposed to be? He raised his eyebrows and told me he didn't know what I was talking about. This is where things got strange. After I told him a rough explanation of what I saw, his expression changed completely. I could make out a sudden flare in his demeanor. What did you type at the prompt? He asked me. What also seeks me? I answered. I was thoroughly confused at this point. Isn't that what you did as well? He just shook his head. No. He then shut his laptop and stood up. Where the hell are you going? I inquired. We've been here too long. Look, I know you have questions, but I can't answer them for you. Go to a motel tonight or something. And just like that, he was gone. What was I going to do? Stop him? I still have no idea who the hell this guy was. The only thing I got out of him was his name. Jackson. And even that's probably fake. Tired as hell and still a little bit drunk. I left the diner and tried to stay hidden as I looked for a nearby motel. Obviously, this wasn't fun. Now here I am, sitting in some sketchy motel at 4:30 a.m. I can barely keep my eyes open, but I also can't help but look over my shoulder every second I'm awake. This is the pinnacle of shitty situations. I guess I'll try to get some sleep. Nothing else I can do. I'll figure it out in the morning. Saturday. Well, I guess it's been Saturday for a while, actually. It's 8 a.m. now. Barely got any sleep. I have this creeping, ominous feeling in my gut that something just isn't right. I turned on the TV, anything to clear my mind for a bit. What I saw next did the opposite of that. There was a news report. A man strangled to death in a KFC bathroom. But the person murdered was one of the guys that came to my house and took my computer that night. No suspects. I just stared at the screen for the longest time. What the hell was going on? My phone suddenly buzzed. A different message from a private number. This is what it said. Go to the swimming pool on 5th Street. In the men's locker room, go to locker 128. The combination is 122733. Further instructions are in there. Do so before this text gets encrypted. Don't bring your phone. Of course, how stupid was I? My phone was still on me. Surely whoever was after me would have been able to track me. This never even crossed my mind. Out of curiosity, I peeked outside my window. Sure enough, the car that's been following me was now parked right there. Lucky for me, I caught my first glimpse of the driver and the passenger getting out. They were both wearing gloves, and one was holding a briefcase. They're walking towards the entrance now. After I've emailed this to myself and a friend, I'm going to need to think quickly. I've already dropped my phone in the toilet, and I'm going to need to get rid of this laptop next. But people need to know that this happened. If you hear from me again, it looks like I found a way out of this. What a goddamn shit show this has been. I'm currently on a plane headed to Scottsdale, Arizona. I haven't actually been out of the state in 6 years. I thought I would eventually, just didn't expect it to be under these circumstances. Anyway, let me back up a bit first. This is what happened. Right after I disposed of the laptop, I heard my lock being tampered with. Somebody was trying to pick it. Now, I've never been great under pressure, so you can imagine how I was feeling, but the human mind is an interesting thing. When you think you're at the end of the line, your will to live really ramps up. The balcony, I thought. Only way out of this. Without hesitation, I ran out and climbed over it. Fortunately, I was on the second floor, so I didn't break my leg. Now came a decision. Run or hide. Both didn't seem too promising. Shit, I thought. I was panicking. That's when I spotted Salvation, a cab parked out on the other side of the lot. I bolted for it. I tapped on the window, startling the driver. "Mr. Horvat?" he asked. Well, no, it wasn't, but I nodded anyways. He said, "You said 8:40, didn't you?" He looked at me in confusion. "I finished early. Let's go." There was anxiety in my voice, but I tried to hide it. Last thing I needed was for this guy to think I was a lunatic and drive off. I got in, told him the address, and we got out of there. As we left the lot, I looked back. The two men I saw coming out of the car were now on the balcony where I just was. I could tell that there was a dead stare directed right at me behind their sunglasses. Despite all of this, relief washed over me. It was short-lived, however. I relayed the message I got in my head. Do so before this text gets encrypted. That meant I was still on the clock. If they didn't know where I'm headed yet, they will soon. We finally got to the place about 15 minutes later. As soon as I got in, I rushed into the locker room. It was mostly empty. I kept repeating the combination in my head. This was the only thing I had. I didn't really care about getting answers before, but it seemed like I had no choice now. I finally found the locker. Didn't know why this guy chose such a massive place. 12 left, 27 right, 33 left. I swung it open. Sitting there was an older BlackBerry model and an envelope. I opened it to find a plane ticket, $2,000 cash, and a sticky note. In horrific penmanship, the words, "check phone, password, snake tracks," were scrawled across it. I obliged and booted up the ancient device. I remember being slightly amused. I always begged my parents for one of these when I was a kid. This was a far cry from that. I took a quick look through the phone. It was mostly blank. No apps downloaded, no pictures, nothing. There was only one contact, bluntly named "Call Me." So I did. After just one ring, a voice answered. There was a sense of tentativeness in his throat. Somehow it sounded familiar. Well, how was I supposed to answer this? Should I say my name? "I got your message," I finally responded. There was a brief pause. His response caught me off guard. His tone had gotten a lot more aggressive. Why the hell would he be asking me this? I thought. I didn't have enough energy to question him, though. "Raised Protestant, but now agnostic, I guess," was my answer. He seemed to breathe a sigh of relief.
"What's your religious affiliation?"
Well, shit. Is this guy nuts or something? My thoughts were interrupted as I got a message. He'd sent me an address and a room number. "Meet me" was the only thing he'd typed. I looked at it for a second before coming to my senses. I'm an idiot. I should have just taken the stuff and bolted. I heard the door to the locker room swing open, then footsteps coming towards where I was. Sprinting, actually. I flipped shit. I shoved the stuff in my pockets and started looking for a way out. Again, there was really only one option here. I started making a break for the pool entrance. As I ran, fucking gunshots started ringing out behind me. I could tell they were using silencers. But boy, that doesn't do a whole lot when you're only 40 feet away. I suddenly felt a sharp pain to my side. I saw a bullet penetrate a locker right up ahead. God, that didn't miss by much. I ran faster than I thought I was ever able to. I almost slipped into the damn pool as I stumbled out. The lifeguard shouted after me as I burst out the emergency exit. I couldn't stop there. I hurried along, making turns every minute, looking over my shoulder the whole time. It's a good thing I was downtown. I blended into the sea of people easily. At one point, I saw a pair of policemen. I considered telling them. I really did. But what's that gonna do? They'll search for those two guys, turn up with nothing, monitor my house for a couple of days, and then call everything off. It wasn't going to solve anything. I finally ducked into a hair salon. I couldn't run anymore. The barber just looked at me like I was insane. Screw it, I thought. Might as well make myself less recognizable while I'm here. I got him to shave it all off. I spent the rest of the day making various purchases. A used laptop, new set of clothes, some bandages, and a pair of shades. At least something good came out of this. The flight was supposed to be in a couple of hours at this point. I called a cab and made my way there. And that's where I am now. I've got a long trip ahead of me still. Let's see what happens next. As I made my way out of the airport, I recoiled at the heat. God, it's November. How does anybody live here during the summer? I called another cab, got to the address. It was a Holiday Inn. I laughed to myself. How ominous, I thought. I made my way up to the room and knocked on the door. A billion thoughts were running through my head. What if it was a trap? I actually thought about just running away for a second, but I realized that wouldn't accomplish shit. After about a minute, the door opened. A wave of surprise washed over me, but in retrospect, this is exactly who I should have been expecting. It was the other guy that came to my house that night, the one that didn't get strangled. He didn't look great, however. He had a black eye and a bruised lip, just looked tired in general. He looked me over before gesturing me in. He had a slight limp as he walked. Nice haircut, he muttered softly. He sat down on the bed and I sat on the couch across from him. There was a long silence. The whole time he just stared at the ground. To be honest, I didn't know what to say. So I said nothing, and he finally spoke up. Might as well let you know what's going on. He then proceeded to let it all out. About 4 years ago, there was an incident in the Paris catacombs. I got chills after hearing this. 4 teenagers decided it would be a good idea to wander off during a tour. I guess they got lost or something, because they weren't there at the end. The police pretty much swept everywhere. No sign of them. Eventually, the government decided to set up infrared cameras all around the place, just to see what would turn up. One day, one of the cameras picked up movement. Nobody anticipated what they were going to see next. It was hell manifested. An abomination of writhing limbs somehow stuck together, squirming across the screen. There were 4 human heads stuck to the top of that thing. You can guess who they were. I was beyond speechless. I thought about that video of the catacombs. Glad I didn't stick around for the grand reveal. He continued. They decided to send elite forces down there to examine it. Apparently, it took out 12 men before they put it down. Now the question was what they were going to do with the video. They couldn't just get rid of it. But they didn't want anybody to see it either. And this was around the time the whole Snowden thing was going on, so they didn't feel comfortable with just using government servers. So this is where that website you saw comes into play. They got the most seasoned technological experts they had to bury it somewhere deep in the internet. And I'm talking about as deep as they could go. Nobody was supposed to know about it. Nobody was supposed to find it. And nobody was even supposed to know what to look for. I racked my brain over this. Sure, I knew my way around, but there was no way in hell that I was on par with government experts. So how did I find it? He continued. And it worked well for a while. They made a pact with governments worldwide. Anything they deemed unfit for public knowledge went on that site. There were even precautions. For every real thing on there, they posted 4 fake ones. for the select few that actually managed to find it.
Wait, what?
I couldn't believe this. He just chuckled. Yeah, most of that stuff you saw was bullshit. At most. The videos are harder to fake. I didn't know how to feel about this. I was slightly relieved, I guess. Just slightly. He kept on. The logic behind this was that once people found these things, they'd look further into them. However, since they were fabricated, nothing would come up, and the page would be disregarded. Just a gag site. At least that was the idea. I knew where he was getting at. What about the people that started looking into the real things? He sighed. Look, nobody would have given a shit if they started spouting it off to their friends or on the internet. People would think they're crazy. It's the damn people that just have to go and find proof. The ones that plan to publicize it. Yeah, they get silenced. I was about to say something. I think he noticed because he cut me off. Look, don't put that moralistic shit on me. They didn't have to do it. It was their choice. They were committing a crime. You really think public knowledge about any of these things would help anybody? No, it wouldn't. Sometimes ignorance is bliss, all right? To be honest, I had to agree. But here's where things really went to shit. He went on. Before, there would be maybe 2 breaches a month. And then it skyrocketed up to 20. And then 50. They looked into it. Apparently there were rumors circulating around the deep and dark web. A rumor about a page that held secrets nobody was supposed to see. They decided to find out how easy it really was to access this place just from reading forums and shit. It took the experts about 20 minutes to find it. Just by solving weird fucking riddles and then following these concealed links that would spawn from them. And then there was the final prompt. What do you seek? You've seen it. No? I nodded. Apparently there's a lot of different answers that could work. Anyways, it didn't make any sense. Everybody that was supposed to know about this was grilled. Somebody had to be doing this, right? Nobody fessed up. Honestly, everybody seemed genuine when they said they didn't do it. They knew the consequences. After a brutally in-depth investigation, nothing was resolved. And then it hit them. Back in 2010, they had also finalized an experimental AI. I'll spare you the details, but it went off the rails. Nobody could control it. As soon as they thought they could corner it into a virtual trap, it just disappeared. It didn't come up again. Until now. He paused after that, like he was waiting for me to connect the dots. So, you think that this AI resurfaced and is now directing people there? I asked. He says he doesn't think that's the case. He knows it is. It's the only feasible explanation, he says. But why? I don't know, he responded. I was starting to get a hunch now about why this was happening to me. These people, they aren't after me because I saw those links, are they? He just nodded. It's what I saw after. And you think this AI has something to do with it? Another nod. Well, what did I see? He took a second before speaking. I couldn't tell you. There's some things that I don't even know about. All I can tell you is that there are some groups, some people out there, beyond any government that are after this kind of stuff, this forbidden knowledge, and somehow they know that you've seen it, and they want to know what you know. And they came after you as well? I asked. Yeah, they know we talked to you. A wave of guilt came over me. Did I get that guy killed? However, that guilt quickly turned to frustration. Well, what the hell am I supposed to know? I don't know what the hell it was I saw. A dry chuckle came out of him. Well, they don't care, do they? They'll jump at anything. And who do you work for? The government? I firmly asked, the question that had been on my mind since I got here. Sort of, was all his response was. He got up, taking out a pair of car keys. We gotta figure this out. We gotta go. Go where? I asked. Vegas. In any other situation, I would have been ecstatic. We went outside and he led me to an older, beaten-up sedan. Inconspicuous, he said with a smile. I could tell he was just trying to lighten the mood. The drive was long and arduous. We barely spoke. My brain was fried at this point, so I didn't bother asking more questions. I did remember one particular conversation we had, though. Listen, if anything happens to me, there should be a file on the BlackBerry named Contingency. Everything you need to know will be on there. I remember feeling flustered. What? What could happen to you? I responded. I don't know. Just in case, I guess. Don't lose that phone. In reality, I know there were a lot of things that could happen. I just didn't want to admit it. He woke me up when we arrived in McCarran. I was confused. You have plane tickets? Don't need them, he responded. He got out of the car and I followed him in. What happened next was strange. He just walked past everyone. The check-in, security, everybody. They didn't even pay attention to him. Not to me, either. That's when I started to wonder who the hell this guy really was. As we walked past the various stores and restaurants set up near departures, he took a sharp turn. I stumbled keeping up. He walked towards an unassuming door set up right between two shops. He swung it open and I followed. We walked down a bunch of corridors, turning every so often. Various men in suits passed us, but didn't seem to acknowledge our presence. We finally got to another door. This one required a keycard. He took one out and scanned it. I didn't realize how huge this place really was, until I thought about it after. We must have passed at least 15 other hallways. Anyway, the door opened up to what looked like a long flight of stairs. We trekked down for about 5 minutes before we got to what looked like another terminal. Now, it didn't look futuristic or anything, just a regular damn terminal. Surely there's no planes taking off here, I asked. He said I was right. That's when I noticed the train tracks. Now we wait. And he sat down on a bench. Well, great. I've given up trying to piece this together in my head, so I didn't even bother asking what this place was. Let's just see what happens, I thought. But as I'd soon find out, things are just not that simple these days. I spotted a washroom sign towards the back and I headed for it. As I was washing my hands after finishing up, I noticed what looked like a card stuck into the side of the mirror. I plucked it out and looked at it. It was a standard business card size, just plain white with black text. But here's what it said. From far and wide, we search for meaning. As seconds pass since the time of weaning, our destiny is sealed. We'll face the wraith. We don't need hope. We have our faith. We will not stop until we're dust, all for God, in whom we trust. Creepy, I thought. And then I turned it over. In big bold letters was FOTLG. No idea what that's supposed to mean. However, in that moment, I felt that something just wasn't right. It's that creepy sensation you get when something just feels off. I needed to tell him, whoever the hell he is, about this. I opened the door and he was gone. I searched around the terminal for a bit, but he was nowhere to be found. Hell, there was nobody else here. The place started rumbling slightly. The train was coming. Well, I sure as hell wasn't getting on by myself. I looked around a bit more before I heard footsteps coming down the stairs. Great, I thought. He's back. Then I realized it wasn't just one pair of steps. There were multiple. Instead of seeing a familiar face, I was greeted with four of what I assumed to be men. I couldn't tell because their faces were covered with a burlap sack that had eye holes carved out, kind of like the one Scarecrow wears in Batman Begins. The only difference was a symbol that seemed to be spray-painted on where the forehead should be. It was simple, a vertical semicircle with angular arrows going through it. As I recall, the rest of their getup was normal, just plain street clothes. I was frozen, and then I realized that one of them had liquid dripping off his glove. Dark liquid. The next few moments were a blur. I remember the train pulling up, and those guys started to run towards me. I started bolting for the train. It was a weird one. Only one section and one set of doors. I don't think I saw a driver. As I ran up to it, the doors opened automatically. I remember frantically looking for a shut button, but there wasn't one. I just stared in horror as those freaks got closer and closer. As they got within about 10 meters, I closed my eyes and just prayed for the best. I opened them when I heard kicking and banging at the door. It wasn't opening up for them. I watched their crazed eyes follow me as the train started moving. I was safe, but only for now. I turned on the phone again and took a thorough look through it. Sure enough, the text file he mentioned was there. Guess I'll read it soon, after I'm done with this. Now, I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know what's waiting for me there. My head's pounding. All I know is that I should have just stayed on Google. I'm not sure what to think anymore. I mean, it's not like anything was clear-cut before, but the world just continues to make less and less sense. I opened up the contingency file. This is what it contained. Failsafe, agent incapacitated. Alias, Jack Rust. Identity, redacted. Custom message. Hello there. If you're reading this, I suppose I'm out of commission. Shame, I guess. I'm going to assume that we've at least made it to the terminal. Here's what you do next. Get on the train. Do so as soon as it comes. There's only a 10-second window where it'll open for anybody. Now it's going to be the fifth. Count them. The fifth stop you'll need to get off at. There won't be any announcements, no indications, nothing. Do not fall asleep. Just pay attention. This train goes fast, but it'll still take a while. Be patient. While you're in there, do not look out the windows. There's nothing to look at anyway. You'll be in a tunnel. Nevertheless, it's better that you refrain from doing so. You see, we've had some problems recently. Sometimes someone stares back at you. You can't really look away. Now, what I'm going to mention next isn't likely. I'd say it's a 1 in 1,000 chance, but you don't have the means to deal with it, so you'll need a heads up. If at any point during one of the stops, you see or hear the door opening, hide under the seats. There shouldn't be anybody getting on right now. Just close your eyes and wait for them to leave. Now, if they're still there after the fourth stop, I'm sorry. Once you've arrived at the fifth, get out. It'll be another terminal, very small one. There should be stairs to the right and a ladder to the left. Do not even think about going down the stairs. As you go up the ladder, it should start getting darker. Don't worry, this is what's supposed to happen. Keep feeling upwards. Eventually, you should touch something solid. It's a fake rock. Push it up and climb out. Put it back when you're done. You should now be in a dead wheat field. This is Texas. Between Crockett and Sutton County, to be specific. Start looking around. There should be a small, abandoned farmhouse visible a few miles in the distance. Go towards it. Once you've gone in, look for a basement. The place isn't big. You should find it easy enough. Once you have, go down there. Now, the lights won't work, so it'll be dark. Turn the brightness up on the phone if you have to. You should be looking for a big red door. There's only one, so if you think that you've found it, you have. There's going to be a numerical set of buttons right by the handle. The password is 532-5678. Now this next part's a doozy. Not that you have to do anything crazy, it's just what I'm about to tell you. You see, the reason these people knew where to find you was because they went through us first. We've been monitoring you ever since you started getting close to finding that page. I didn't tell you, because why would I? Apparently there was a mole informant in our midst. We believe that he was a member of a cult that we thought went defunct a while ago. The Factions of the Lost Gods, that's what they call themselves. I won't go into detail on them here. All I'll tell you is that they would go to the ends of the earth to find what you saw that day. That's their one and only objective. They aren't the only group seeking this. However, They're the only one that we're worried about. I guess once they started hearing about those riddles, they thought that this thing was trying to communicate with somebody. With them. Trying to lead them there. But this is the part that didn't make any sense. The thing that had stumped all of us. You were never supposed to see what you did. It wasn't supposed to be there. We have no clue why it was. One of the strangest things was that nobody had even created the page that it popped up on. We don't know how you found it. You were the first person that saw it since we took it off the site. This is where things got hairy for us. As soon as the informant noticed this, he called in a raid on our Texas headquarters. That's the one you're going to. It was a massacre. They stole our equipment and started tracking you down themselves. Luckily for me, I was already on my way to you. Now, we don't work with them. But these politicians, they have a real antiquated code of ethics. A real antiquated idea of how to fix things. You see, these cult members aren't so easy to find. If they were, they would be neutralized a long time ago. Because of that, there exists a contingency protocol for this exact purpose. Blackout is what they call it. If they ever found out that this group had any chance of finding whatever it was that you saw, they'd put it into motion. Trust me, that's not going to be fun for anybody. They aren't willing to take any more risks. That's why we didn't tell them, why we didn't tell most people in our organization. They might spill the beans. However, if you're still reading this, that means desperate measures can wait. Once you've gone in, go directly straight until you've reached what looks like a control room. In the far right corner, there should be one older desktop mounted to the wall. Luckily, that's one of the few things they didn't take. Boot it up. It's going to prompt you for a password. Type in primordial. A trapdoor should open up in the middle of the room. Walk down those steps and you should find yourself facing a bunch of file cabinets. Start searching through them. You're looking for a folder under the name Kane Hunter. He's an old friend. It's ordered alphabetically, so it shouldn't be that hard. That folder should contain his address. I understand that that's a lot of work for just one piece of information. However, this guy moves around so much, I just didn't bother keeping up. You need to go and find him. He'll have the answers that I don't. At this point is our best shot. Tell him Ben sent you. I'll leave you with this message. Mankind must not go back to hiding in fear. No one else will protect us, and we must stand up for ourselves. This government protocol is not the way we go. Good luck. That was the end of the message. This was a lot to take in, to say the least, but it sounded like I had a job to do. Luckily, nothing else got on the train with me. It took a while before I finally got to the basement down in the farmhouse. As soon as I walked in, a wall of stench hit me. I reflexively gagged. A massacre. Those words rang through my head. I found a light switch on the wall and flicked it. As the stale, incandescent light washed over the place, I understood what he meant. It was a massacre indeed, and nobody was there to clean it up. Holding my breath, I stepped over the decaying, uniformed corpses. As much as I would try to avoid looking at them, I couldn't stop myself from glancing down every so often. I was about to pass out once I reached the control room. I followed the instructions and found the folder. As soon as I did, I got the hell out of there. Once I was back outside, I read through it. Kane Hunter was 45 years old, and he lived in Hong Kong. Shit, I thought. I was starting to hate traveling. It took me a while to find a road. I eventually managed to hitchhike into a town. From there, I got another ride to Dallas-Fort Worth International. That's where I am right now. I'm tired beyond belief at this point, and it doesn't help that the back of my damn neck's itching like hell. The flight was long, so I got to contemplate the past week. There were a lot of unanswered questions still lingering, and I really didn't know what to expect from Kane Hunter. I remember the train terminal, the card I found at the washroom, FOTLG, Faction of the Lost Gods. Shit. I finally arrived and cabbed to this guy's address. I was running low on funds at this point. During the drive, I watched as the glimmering lights of the city moved past me. On the surface, the world just seemed so straightforward. Guess it really starts unraveling when you look into it. I got dropped off at an unassuming apartment complex. I guess you can call it middle class. I buzzed his room number. It took a while, but somebody finally answered.
Who's this?
He sounded surprised, as if he wasn't used to visitors. I took a second to think about what I was going to say.
Ben sent me. I need help,
was my ultimate response. Almost instantly, I heard the front entrance unlocked. Well, here we go, I thought. I started making my way up to the 7th floor. As I was about to knock on his door, it opened up. A rather unkempt middle-aged man pulled me into his room, looking extremely anxious. He paced around as I took a seat. He finally stopped, turning to me.
What do you mean you need help?
His otherwise deep voice croaked as he said this. I know that I was about to tell him something that he didn't want to hear.
I saw that thing, and now there's people after me.
His facial expression contorted as he heard this.
Who's after you? Do you know?
His speech was quick and discombobulated.
The faction of the lost gods is what I think they're called, was my response.
Now his face went completely pale.
They're back.
I flinched as he cursed loudly right after. He sat down, burying his face into his hands. He looked back up at me.
What happened to Ben?
My silence was enough of an answer. He just nodded. He was a good guy. I just nodded back in response. I heard him mumble something under his breath, but I couldn't make it out. Now it was time for me to ask the big question. The question that nobody seemed to have an answer to. What was it that I saw? He just stared at me for a few seconds, and then he finally spoke up.
I used to work on a space station named Kronos 1. You heard of it?
No, I hadn't. And that's what I told him.
Well, it's because you're not supposed to.
Now I really had no idea where this was going. He went on to tell me about how the Kronos 1 used to orbit space 1,500 kilometers away from the ISS.
It was meant to be used for navigation and communication, he stated. That's what they told us, anyways. They were doing other stuff up there for sure. Why else would they not tell the public it existed? Anyways, it didn't last long. One day we got a message from NASA. There was a signal of sorts coming from somewhere deep in space. Well, more like some kind of anomaly. Something that didn't make sense. They didn't elaborate on what that was supposed to mean. Anyways, they estimated that it came from beyond the Kuiper Belt. All of this was strange, of course. They decided to check it out. He paused, letting off a quick sigh as he did so. They sent an interstellar probe towards that signal. It was estimated to reach there in about 9 hours. And it just so happens that about 9 years later, I'm back up in space after taking a hiatus on Earth. While there, we get another message. The probe had reached where the signal had approximately been emanating from. They were going to transmit a feed for us to watch. I raised my eyebrow. He just chuckled at my confusion. Yeah, we've come a lot farther in terms of space technology than the public is led to believe. At this point, I don't think you should be surprised. Anyways, everybody's crowded around the monitors waiting to see what the hell the probe picked up. Keep in mind that there were only 10 people in the room at the time. It was too tight to fit more, so we were going to be the first ones aboard who would see it. The transmission eventually blinked onto the screen. He stopped, rubbing his temple as he did so. It almost seemed like it hurt him to think about. Everything went by quick. It only took a few seconds for the screaming to start. People were banging their damn heads on the floors and walls. It was chaos. Everybody lost their minds after seeing what was on that monitor. The only reason I survived was because I didn't actually get a glimpse of it. I was still in the bathroom when the transmission came through. I got out as soon as I heard the commotion. I still passed out, though. Guess I'm not so good with blood. All I remember before hitting the floor was seeing a lone person still glued to the screen. He was the only one watching at this point.
When I woke up, they started asking me questions, but I had no answers for them. I didn't see it.
Wait, so what was the cause of death for them?
I asked. Suicide. Mostly blunt force, he responded. Everybody in that room found a way to kill themselves. What the hell? I thought. Was this really what I had seen as well?
So what happened to the other guy? The guy you said was still watching?
He passed out as well, but only for a minute. Other than that, he said he was fine. Never even really brought it up. When they asked him what he'd seen, he just shrugged and said he didn't know what they were talking about. I knew him, actually. His name was Blake. He'd always been a strange guy. There was another pause. I kept trying to work it out in my head. Kane kept going. But that wasn't the end of his story. I perked up. He got fired soon after. He seemed to just stop caring about anything that was going on around him. He'd make these strange, dark outbursts every so often, and would scare the hell out of everybody he worked with. He was going insane. After his last day, he went off the grid. His family, the few friends he had, none of them knew where he went or where he was going. There were no traces of him anywhere. But unbeknownst to everybody, he was going around the country, recruiting people into some cult that he'd created. You can guess what it was called. It didn't take long for me to put it together. The faction of the Lost Gods. That's right, he continued. He'd even written and released a manifesto explaining why this was necessary. He'd go on about how there was something inherently wrong with the inner workings of our external world and that we weren't even supposed to exist. Apparently our system was corrupt, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. He was batshit, or maybe it was what he'd seen that made him that way. He went on to explain how Blake had been looking for something the whole time he'd been recruiting members. He'd been looking for the probe footage. You see, that probe is still there, transmitting whatever the hell that thing is to a feed that only the government has access to. I'll assume you've seen the site where all the sensitive knowledge goes. I nodded. Wouldn't be here if I didn't. At first, that's where they stuffed it. According to them, a few hackers banging their heads on keyboards every now and then wasn't that big of a deal. But after what happened on Kronos, almost nobody dared to look at it. The few who tried, well, you know the story. But here's where things got incomprehensibly fucked. What I'm about to tell you, almost nobody knows about. This includes 99% of government agents. He took out a cigarette carton and lit one up. He took a long, heavy drag before continuing. After about 6 months, I went back to the Kronos. They offered me a severance package to just retire and keep my mouth shut. I decided against it. I was too cocky. I tried to pretend like what I saw didn't affect me. That shit was a mistake. He ashed his cigarette and lit another one. It was a routine work day. We were finishing up some maintenance when we heard a deep humming sound coming from somewhere outside the station. It wasn't like anything we'd ever heard before. Even now, I can't replicate what it sounded like in my head. It was just strange. A bunch of people started staring out the windows just to see what was happening. I didn't join in. After the probe footage, my curious side pretty much disappeared. However, what happened next made me question what kind of universe we really live in. I was eating lunch in the mess hall when I heard commotion coming from the hallways. I would have checked it out, but that's when the screaming started. It wasn't normal, honestly. It didn't sound like anything that a human being should have been able to produce. I remember looking at everybody else in the room. They weren't moving. We were all on the same page. A couple of guys actually barricaded the entrance with chairs. However, we couldn't keep our eyes off of it. There was some kind of light bleeding in from the cracks under and above the door. But something was wrong about it. The light wasn't any color we'd ever seen before. The familiarity of these descriptions got my mind racing. This was it, wasn't it? This is what I had saw. He continued. I remember getting lightheaded just from looking at it for a few seconds. The next hours were excruciating. The screams didn't stop. Our collective sanity was being pushed to the brink. We all just sat,
fingers in our ears and our eyes shut, waiting for the end of this shit. Eventually, the door opened and we were escorted out. I remember looking around to see the white walls of the station now stained with red. 90% of the crew died that day. We had questions, of course, about what had happened. However, everybody that would have known was now dead. He leaned back in his chair, fished another cigarette out of the carton. This time, it was accompanied by a swig of whiskey. He went on. I arrived back on Earth shortly after. This time they didn't offer me my job back. Just a service check and a non-disclosure. Though, it's not like I cared at this point. Would have quit regardless. Now, here's the connection to what you saw. That day, I was at my house, mulling over my life. Then I heard a knock at my door. It was Ben. He asked me what the hell had happened on Kronos. I told him, but the thing I didn't understand is how the hell he knew something had ever happened. He had never even worked with NASA. So I asked him about it. He said that a wave of distress calls from the station all came through at once. They all described exactly what I had gone through. The problem was, they had no means of dealing with this. It would have taken too long to organize a rescue mission. Everybody was at a loss for what to do. That's when the higher-ups came up with something off the cuff. They had a hunch. It was actually more of an experiment. They checked up on the website. Sure enough, it had been breached once again. Somebody was viewing the probe footage. They tracked it down to an abandoned warehouse in San Antonio, which is where Ben was at the time. At this point, he was just a field agent, so they contacted and told him to go check it out. He drove there, along with a SWAT team. When they arrived, it was a bloodbath. They started getting shot at as soon as they walked in. Whatever was going on, whoever was doing it, was trying to protect something. Half the team was killed before they managed to secure the place. They detained the shooter and started sweeping the rest of the building. There was nothing on the upper floors. But then they got to the basement. There was just one person down there, sitting in front of a computer monitor. They approached him slowly, barking at him to put his hands up. He ignored everything. A SWAT member eventually got close to him. That's when he started screaming out of nowhere and shot himself in the head. There was no doubt that he got a glimpse of the screen. Nobody approached him after that. They all just kept pointing their weapons at him and telling him to turn away. The guy eventually did. He said that it was Blake. Ben recognized him because he'd become infamous around government circles. He said that there was blood seeping from his eyes and nose, skin pale as the moon. He only said one thing. Kane stopped and sighed. He took a big swig of whiskey and looked at me dead center. You can't stop it. If it doesn't happen today, it'll happen eventually. Our reckoning has yet to come. Ben said that this chilled him to the bone. He told me that Blake had said it in such a tone and conviction that just made him feel despair and emptiness inside. He shot him right after that, as well as the monitor. They rounded up the rest of the cult members and took them into questioning. They wouldn't cooperate, obviously. They all just repeated the same words over and over. Some weird fucking motto or something. Anyways, the higher-ups got there a couple hours later. They congratulated Ben and told him to go home. The distress reports had finally stopped coming in from Kronos. Wait, I interjected. The reports, did they stop as soon as Blake got shot? Kane chuckled. It was a dry one. No humor in it. Yeah, he continued. You're figuring it out, aren't you? Here's the conclusion they came to. Whatever that probe was picking up, whatever Blake was watching, it was watching him back. Somehow, they were communicating with each other. This was horrifying to think about. Kane continued. He was sending something towards Earth. Something beyond our comprehension that we were never meant to see. Who the hell knows what it wants from us? Probably nothing good. Anyway, they decided to make sure that nobody else ever saw it again. They disconnected from the probe, stopped the stream altogether. I'm sure the thought process was that if we didn't seek it out, then it wouldn't notice us. Wait, what? I nearly shouted at him.
How the hell did I see it then?
That's what I'm wondering, he said. You got an answer?
I tried telling him about the AI, but the words just stumbled out of my mouth into an incoherent mess. He just looked at me in confusion.
An AI? What the hell are you talking about?
He asked. On that website, there was another prompt. It brought me there. That's how I found it.
Prompts? What are you talking about?
Screw it, I thought. He clearly didn't know about it. There were still too many questions pressing against my brain anyway, so I didn't linger on this.
How many other people do you know have seen it? I asked.
He scoffed.
The ones that are alive? You.
This sent chills down my spine. He went on. Which begs the question, how long did you look at it for?
Just a couple of seconds, right?
No, I responded. Nearly half a minute. After I said this, his face went blank. I just shrugged. Look, I don't know what to make of any of this, was all I managed to stammer out. With a shocked, contemplative expression on his face, Kane just looked up at the ceiling. As he did this, the words from the contingency message rang through my head. You were the first one that had seen it since we took it down. But why me? Why was I so special? Why did I have to see it? Kane started speaking again. Computers may know more about humanity than we ever will. I just stared at him in confusion. What an odd statement to make. He went on. If it actually was an AI that sent you that page, maybe it means something.
Means something?
Like what? I retorted. Nobody else seems to be able to handle seeing that thing, but like Blake, you appear to be an exception. I really thought about this.
He was right, wasn't he? Whatever the hell this thing is, it seems to push people to the brink of insanity after just a few seconds of exposure. I mean, I sure as hell didn't know what I saw. I certainly didn't like seeing it. But I was more or less in a normal state of mind. However, there was one more question I couldn't ignore.
Those members of the cult that were detained, they weren't the only ones, were they?
There were other members. Kane nodded. They tried to tell themselves that they were it. That this was done. That's what everybody wanted to believe. Underestimating Blake's influence was the biggest mistake they could have made.
At this point, I didn't want to think about it anymore. I needed a break from this discussion. I asked him if there was somewhere I could rest. He told me there was a spare mattress in the closet. I needed to sleep, but not before I finished getting this out. A million thoughts are still running through my head as I write this. Ben said that this guy was our best shot, but nothing's been resolved. Hell, what was he supposed to do? Maybe this blackout contingency was necessary. If everything I've heard is true, it might be the only option. God, this itch on the back of my neck is killing me. Anyway, it looks like I'm going to have to make a decision soon. Kane and I just heard somebody trying to open the door. He took a look through the peephole and told me that there were people with weird masks on standing outside. This is not good. You know how they say that time flies when you're having fun? Well, that also applies when you think you're about to be smoked. It didn't take long for them to break down the door. The thing is, jumping out the window wasn't an option here. I tried opening a vent in the washroom, but they were already inside the apartment. I remember seeing Kane fish a pistol out of a kitchen cabinet before getting bodied by some behemoth of a man. This all happened in what felt like seconds. The last thing I saw before I blacked out was the butt of a rifle coming towards my face. I awoke some time later, face down on a dusty floor in a dim, empty room. My head was pounding. I was restrained, but there was nowhere to go. One door leading out, and it was deadbolted. I turned my head to see Kane pacing on the other side.
Look, I didn't lead them here.
I tried to reason with him. He looked pissed.
Oh, I don't doubt that, he responded. Not on purpose, at least. They know that I can't help them. We've tried a while ago.
He followed up with a sigh.
This is fucked. I turned away from him and started feeling around the walls. I was under the delusion that there was some secret way out. A delusion it was. After my futile attempt at escape, I just sat down in a corner. There was no good ending to this, I thought. Kane seemed to read my mind because he chimed in. You know, you can't tell them how to get there. He looked at me again. This time his demeanor was dead serious. You can't let that thing loose over here. That's not an option. Initially, I was annoyed. He was asking me to take what was surely torture and then death, but then I thought about it. This was bigger than me. There was no way out of it. The door suddenly swung open. About 5 people stepped in, all sporting those damn bags over their heads. 2 had shotguns.
You're awake. Good,
said the one at the front. I instantly recognized that voice.
Was it really?
He slipped it off, revealing a big shit-eating grin. It was Jackson. It didn't have to be like this, you know. He could have just told me how to get there. I thought back to the conversation we had in the diner. I clearly told him what I had entered at the prompt. Did that not work for him? But I put that thought into the back of my head. At that moment, I was nothing but angry. Like it would have mattered. You psycho fucks would have ruined the world regardless. He just sighed.
Ruined?
Look, I don't expect you to understand, only to cooperate. But this world, it isn't right. It was a mistake. So you just follow the orders of some crazy dead guy, huh? Kane laughed. Sounds like you guys are the mistakes. One of the men walked up and whipped the shotgun barrel across his face. There was a terrible cracking sound as he fell to the floor. He started coughing up blood.
Why don't you guys just kill me? I can't help you. Wouldn't help if I could,
he muttered as he sat against a wall. Jackson chuckled.
No, this is something we all need to see.
The more people who start witnessing, the better. It's the greatest salvation anybody could ask for. He was just bloviating nonsense at this point. I didn't feel like arguing, however. There was no changing his mind. I had questions, though. How'd you find me? Huh? It doesn't make any sense. He walked over to me and reached behind my ear. I felt a sharp pain at the back of my neck, and he pulled out what looked like a tiny computer chip. So that's what that was. I just let out an exacerbated sigh.
Funny enough, this wasn't our doing, he said as he flicked it away.
What the hell are you talking about?
I spat at him. But then I thought about it. When those guys were shooting at me in the locker room, I swear I felt something hit my neck, but in the moment, you just don't care. Jackson smiled as he saw the horror on my face. We can thank those guys for that. It's just a shame that they won't be here to see it. Everybody always resists. Only the lucky ones truly get it. I recalled Ben's message. A lot of groups are after this, but we're only afraid of one. Who were they? I asked him.
Don't know, he replied. It never mattered anyways.
I was reliving the whole journey in my head at this point, thinking about where I messed up.
How'd you get to the terminal? You needed a key card.
Jackson pulled one out of his pocket. Oh yeah, I forgot. They killed everybody who had one. I was beyond frustrated at this point. Not even just at him. This whole damn situation.
The thing that you want to send over here, do you even know what it is?
He paused for a second. A look of pure contemplation was plastered across his face.
I'll tell you what Blake told me. It's not for us to know. We don't belong here, and every second we remain, the universe deteriorates. We need to correct this.
It's funny. These guys actually thought they were after something good.
Blind faith, huh?
I retorted. You guys are pathetic. Jackson scrunched his nose at this, his expression contorted into one of pure rage.
That's enough.
He gestured to the 2 men standing beside him. They started dragging me out of the room. As we left, I could hear Kane screaming at me, screaming that I couldn't give in. I tried wrestling the shotgun away, but it was a pathetic attempt. There was nothing I could do. They tossed me into another room. This time it was larger. I guess the rest of the cult was also in there, because about 15 people stood, lining the perimeter of the room, all with those bags over their heads. There was also a computer set up in the middle, wires running everywhere. They forced me into a chair in front of it and strapped my legs down. "Go ahead," Jackson's voice echoed from behind me. "Everybody's waiting." I refused at first. I really did. But I guess that's what they were expecting. First came the waterboarding. Don't know if you've experienced it, but it definitely wasn't pleasant. However, it also wasn't enough. What came next almost was, however. One of the men took out a butterfly knife and started slicing my pinky toe off. Slowly. He did this over the course of what felt like an hour. Then came the salt. It was pain that transcended anything I've ever felt before. He finally finished up by cauterizing it. "You have 9 more," Jackson's voice oozed from behind me. "You can die the way you're supposed to." Hearing him say this just gave me more motivation to tell him to fuck off. But I'll admit, I was nearing my breaking point. The next part was excruciating beyond belief. They started scraping the skin off of my shoulder. It wouldn't have been that bad if it wasn't for the boiling water they poured on it afterwards. "Okay, all right," I finally blurted out. They stopped and started applying some cream to the burn. It was pure ecstasy. I heard Jackson breathe out what sounded like a sigh of relief. Smart guy. This was all a ruse, however. I just needed a break for a second. My plan was to get to the prompt and then flip the damn table over. They were going to torture me to death. I was going out with a bang. The human spirit is hard to break. A billion thoughts ran through my head as I went through the whole fucking process again. Memories of family and friends, better times. I solved the riddles and encryptions until that damn question popped up again. Quid Chiaris. I was about to enact my spree of destruction when I noticed something. Something small in the corner of the monitor. It was hard to read, so I had to squint. It was text. Just 2 words. In English this time. "Don't worry." I just stared at it for a second. What the hell was that supposed to mean? That's when I came to a realization. I recalled what Ben had told Kane. It was only Blake sitting at the computer in the basement. He was the only one watching. Everybody who saw this thing went insane and killed themselves. Somehow, the AI also knew this. I smiled to myself. I felt somebody poke at my back. "Don't tell me you've changed your mind. We can change it back." Jackson's voice rung out. "Don't worry," I responded. I answered the prompt question. "What also seeks me?" The familiar list of links soon appeared in front of me. I started scrolling down, clicking on various links until a familiar question appeared in the corner. I clicked yes. And just like that, there they were. The 4 links. I leaned back in the chair. "Well, there it is. First link's the one you're looking for." I watched as they all gathered around me. "This is the first time you're going to see it?" I asked. I could see Jackson nodding out of the corner of my vision. "Blake did make one mistake. He thought that we weren't ready. We were always ready." They unstrapped me from the chair. Jackson put his hand on my shoulder in appreciation. "You don't know this, but you just did something good." "Spare me," I responded. "Is Ben still alive?" I needed to know. Jackson nodded. "Well, where is he?" "What does it matter at this point? I just want to tell him to brace himself. I owe him that, at least." Jackson sighed. He took out a piece of paper with an address and a postal code scribbled onto it and handed it to me. "Good luck with that," he gestured to a couple of armed members. "Follow him out, in case he lied again." They obliged. I could barely hold in my grin as they walked me out. They closed the door behind them and trained their shotguns on me. There was only one thing I could do at this point. I just waited, listening intently. There was a few muffled voices before silence. I started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then came the screams.
Even though I was expecting it, I still flinched. Kim was right. Those sounds should not have come out of a human being. The two guys guarding me flipped shit. One of them ran inside, and the other stumbled on his feet. He was looking back and forth between me and the room, so I disarmed him easily and shot out his kneecaps. I guess he hit his head hard on the floor because he went limp. That's when the cacophony of gunshots started ringing out from inside the room. It lasted about 10 seconds, and was followed by silence. With a shotgun in hand, I walked inside. Bodies were lying, haphazardly scattered across the room. Pieces of the burlap sacks they were wearing were now stuck to the blood-stained walls. The monitor was face down on the floor, shards of screen everywhere. There was only one squirming figure left. Jackson. Guess he really was dedicated to this. He was muttering something incomprehensible, and he snaked his way towards a stray pistol. I thought about finishing the job for him, but that'd just be putting him out of his misery. Instead, I went around the room and took the clips and shells out of every weapon. He gave me one last look before I left. His skin was paler than snow, arms and legs trembling, expressing a mix of shock, dismay, and confusion. It looked as if he was pleading for something. I just flipped him off and closed the door behind me. This is what he wanted, wasn't it? I walked down to the room where Kane still was. I'd picked up the key from one of the bodies. At this point, the cream on my shoulder, as well as the adrenaline, was wearing off. A wave of pain hit me at once. I stumbled a bit before I got to the door and unlocked it. Kane jumped when I walked in. He seemed relieved at first and then horrified. "Did you?" The words faltered out of his mouth. I just shook my head. He exhaled in solace. He wanted to take a quick peek inside the room before we left, just to make sure. Jackson was still in there, twitching violently in the corner, facing away from us. That was the last I ever saw of him. "This'll be a pleasant surprise for everybody," Kane said, before closing the door. We got out of there after that. Turns out we were in the basement of some abandoned factory outside city limits. We hitchhiked back into town. We got back to Kane's apartment, where he decided to buy me a plane ticket back. "Least I can do," he stated. "So, where to?" "You said you were from Delaware." I looked down at the address in my hand. "No, I need to go to Vegas first." Kane chuckled. "Drinking away this whole experience, huh?" "Understandable." He started booking the ticket. "Do you want to see him?" I asked. As he was finishing up, he raised his eyebrow. "See who?" "Ben." He paused, staring at the ground for a second before answering. "No, not really." He looked back at me. "Tell him I wish him the best, though. Tell him to be careful." He said it in such a somber tone, I could tell he just wanted to be done with this whole thing, to never think about it again. Seeing Ben wouldn't help that. He gave me some cab money before we exchanged goodbyes. I had to ask him one last thing before leaving. "You think that's the end of them?" He thought about it for a second before answering. "It has to be." I started heading for the airport. I gotta say, it feels weird walking around with a toe missing. I'll get used to it, though, I suppose. Once in Vegas, I took another cab to the address. It was a run-down house in the middle of a sketchy neighborhood. I hurried in and started searching. I must have looked through the entire place before hearing a soft groaning from the basement. I hurried down there and started yelling Ben's name. The groaning got louder. It was coming from a room in the back. I tried the handle, locked. I eventually just knocked it down. Dust blasted me in the face as I walked inside. Ben was lying there, on a dirty mattress in the middle of the room. He had bruises all over his face and looked like he hadn't eaten in days. There were packets of instant ramen strewn all over the floor. He turned over to look at me and smiled. "Knew you could do it," he uttered out. I looked around the room. There was a small television set, smashed onto the floor. "Yeah, they wanted me to watch it on the news," he grinned again. Like hell I was. I picked him up and led him out of the basement. "It's all right, I'm good," he said as he was stabilizing himself. Once we were outside, he took a deep breath. God, I don't even want to think about what I caught in that dusty-ass room. I laughed. This shit was finally over, I thought. Ben got himself checked and patched up. I also got my shoulder looked at. We ended up hitting the slots, going to a seafood buffet and karaoke bar after. It was the best time I've had in a while. I was getting ready to leave that morning after. Ben said that he had work to catch up on. Truth be told, so did I. I mean, it's not like my job would be waiting for me when I got back. He never actually told me who you work for, or what you do, I said to him as we were getting ready to leave the hotel. He chuckled. Yeah, that was on purpose. Oh, come on. After all this and you're still keeping it a secret? I gave him a casual nudge. After all of this and you still want to know more? He pushed me back. It was my turn to chuckle. Touché. The cab ride to McCarran was quiet. So was the walk to the terminal. I was headed back to Delaware, and he was going to South Korea. He finally spoke up about 2 minutes before his boarding call. I'd like to think that I do my best to try and protect the world from the strange shit that dwells within it. To try and secure the stuff out there that humanity shouldn't ever see. To put them away in containment forever. He slapped my back before getting up to leave. Keep in touch, yeah? You know how to find me. And just like that, he was gone. I waited about 30 minutes before my flight was ready to go. I slept like a baby the whole time I was in the air. When I actually got to my house, there was police tape surrounding it. I knocked on my neighbor's door to ask her what had happened. I mean, I already knew, but I had to find some kind of ignorance. She seemed surprised when she opened up for me. Apparently, she saw two men entering my house and called the cops that night when I went to dinner.
Everybody's been looking for you. Where the hell did you go?
Sightseeing, I answered.
Did they catch them?
No, she responded. But they found these weird cards all over your house. It said, like, FTLOG on the back or something.
Who the hell were those nutcases?
I chuckled to myself and thanked her. After explaining the situation to the cops and giving a statement, I was finally back at square one, normalcy. I found a new job soon after and settled back into a routine. It was over, huh? But even though I try not to think about it anymore, it seems like a daunting task. Sometimes I lie in bed, just staring at the ceiling and trying to picture what I saw in my head. I still had too many questions. There were three other links, weren't there? What the hell were those? I tried to tell myself that I didn't care, but that was a lie. I thought about what Kane said to me on a daily basis. You and Blake are the exceptions. Maybe it means something. Maybe it did mean something. I feel that sight calling to me constantly. I know that sounds strange, but I can sense it. Those links are just waiting to be seen by somebody. By me. The AI still tries to communicate as well. I've been getting small messages on the corner of my screen, even when I browse the surface web now. Are you satisfied? Is what they say. Good question. Was I?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.